And as we've already been discussing this morning, the economy dominated last night's debate between Kevin Rudd and Tony Abbott. It's also the number one topic among the hundreds of thousands who've completed the ABC's Vote Compass survey. The economy will continue to set the tone this week with the release tomorrow of Treasury's pre-election economic and fiscal outlook, affectionately known as PEFO. Our business editor Cheryl Bagwell joins us now. Hello, Cheryl.
Good morning, Fran.
We seem to be showered with economic statements lately, I have to say, Cheryl. Why do we need another one, this time from Treasury?
Well, Treasury is legally required to provide this pre-election economic and fiscal outlook within 10 days of the government issuing a writ for a general election. It's all part of the charter of budget honesty, which was brought in by the previous Howard government. It's meant to keep, as they say, the bastards honest, as both the major parties make claims about how much their election promises are going to cost the budget bottom line. But in this election, of course, it's Treasury's reputation for budget honesty, I guess, that's been coming under the spotlight. The Shadow Treasurer, Joe Hockey, of course, has said previously that he has no confidence in Treasury's ever-changing forecasts, and he said that he wouldn't be using the PEFO numbers to determine the impact, what impact the Coalition's policies will have on the budget deficit. For example, now the opposition leader Tony Abbott seems to have backtracked on that. He said yesterday the Coalition would plug its costings into Treasury's PEFO forecasts. After all, I suspect the Coalition was finding that its attacks on Treasury's credibility, even though it was really aimed at Labor, wasn't playing that well with voters. But of course, playing ball and using PEFO numbers could open up another can of worms for the Coalition. Remember, it was only in January that both Tony Abbott and Joe Hockey were promising to deliver a surplus in their first year in office, and then in every year after that. Now, Tony Abbott was last night still promising to put the budget back into the black in his first term. So therefore the question remains, how's it going to achieve that without cutting to the bone or raising the GST, even though Tony Abbott did seem to rule that out last night? Or will the Coalition too have to postpone its surplus timetable, which of course could undermine its claim to be the better economic managers? Now, Tony Abbott says he'll answer these questions before polling day, but the release of PEFO tomorrow will now put the pressure on him to do that.
So when we get PEFO tomorrow, Cheryl, do you think it's likely to differ much from the figures contained in the government's budget update, which we got from the Treasurer, Chris Bowen, just 10 or 11 days ago now?
Exactly. No, they shouldn't differ from that statement because it is, as you say...
Treasury gives government those figures.
Yes, exactly. I mean, the government's economic statement, which is only 10 days ago, not a lot has changed, you would presume, and those figures and those estimates were based on Treasury forecasts. Now, if the PEFO forecasts were to be different tomorrow, then presumably that would leave the government open to charges that it did indeed doctor the forecast in its own statement. Although if the government did lean on Treasury to come up with some positive forecasts, it didn't do a very good job. You'll remember the government statement downgraded economic growth in the near term, nearly doubled the deficit to $30 billion while pushing out the return to surplus for another year.
And so, most dangerously, having unemployment heading up.
Exactly. So I expect the official numbers from Treasury tomorrow will mirror or come close to the government's forecast. Interestingly, the Reserve Bank is also taking a similar view to the government on the path of economic growth. On Friday, the RBA released its quarterly monetary statement, and like the government, it has average growth slowing to 2.5% this financial year. It then sees, like the government, growth bouncing back next financial year. The RBA says they're forecasting between 2.5% and 3.5%. The RBA has gone for a range of possibilities, which is wise,
just safe.
Given the volatility. The government has gone for a midpoint of 3% growth next year, which is around trend levels for the Australian economy. So they're all kind of on the same page at the moment.
And the Reserve Bank is optimistic that this slowdown could be short-lived?
Yes, the RBA sees the economy actually growing by as much as 4.25%, or that's well above trend, by the end of 2015. I mean, that's the top of its range.
Well, that's the same kind of Treasury forecast that Treasury's been knocked about a bit for, hasn't
exactly
it?
So, we have to take that into account. Now, it's basing its optimism, the RBA, on a rebounding global economy, particularly a stronger US economy. It also sees a lower exchange rate, stimulating our economy, as well as the low level of interest rates we've got now, boosting business conditions and therefore investment. And now you could possibly add in a stabilising China to that mix, because data out on Friday showed that factory output in China grew at its fastest pace since the start of the year. Now, this followed some strong trade data on Thursday. So that's raised hopes among investors that after more than 2 years of weakening growth, the Chinese economy, as I said, might now be stabilising. And if it does stabilise around these current levels of 7 to 7.5% annual growth, then that would ensure continued strong demand for Australian resources. Indeed, despite all the doom and gloom, the big miners are still pumping out record volumes of iron ore to China this year, which is helping to offset the price falls. Not that the iron ore price has been too shabby at late. It's up 20% since the start of June to around $133 US a tonne, although analysts think that with this new supply coming on stream, the price could fall back again next year. So, you know, there's a lot of risk to this outlook, but, you know, the US Federal Reserve might withdraw its stimulus too soon, etc. But it's very possible the Aussie economy could do better from 2014, well, better than the pessimists are predicting. And that, in turn, of course, would be a gift for those leading the next government, whoever that yes. might turn out to be.
So hard to get it right, isn't it? Not a great week for the share market last week, Cheryl. What can we expect this week?
That's right. The Aussie market was down 1.1% last week, and so was Wall Street. Now, spooking investors was this prospect of the Fed withdrawing its stimulus sooner than expected, because the US economy is actually doing better than expected. But despite Wall Street continuing to fall on Friday night, our market is expected to open flat this morning, and that's because of this data out of China, which will buoy investors, particularly mining investors. It's also the main reason why we're seeing the Aussie dollar hold its ground against the greenback. Now, this time last week, we were talking about the dollar below 90 cents. It was buying 89 US cents. This morning, it's up to 92.1 US cents. It's also profit reporting season, friends, and big companies are in the frame. Commonwealth Bank reports on Wednesday. Analysts think the CBA will post a full-year profit of around $7.6 billion. Now, that's going to be another high-water mark for bank profits, and investors, I imagine, will be hoping that some of that's going to be returned to them in higher dividends, Fran.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.